You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The supermarket duopoly has seen prices for essential items increasing sharply. The government has made a formal response to the Commerce Commission's market study showing supermarkets earn over $1 million a day in extra profits. Today I spoke with Ricardo Menendez-March from the Green Party about the recommendations and started by asking how the duopoly has allowed supermarkets to charge so much for the essentials.
So we know that a few corporates have massive control over the supply of food and the relationships with wholesale retail, and what that creates is the ability to hike up prices. And we're seeing that reflected in excessive profits. And so the issue is that there are no competitors that can offer cheaper goods, as well as just the fact that we've kind of accepted the supermarket model as a delivery of food with an incentive to make profits, which in itself, I think, is at the core of why this whole problem exists.
How has the duopoly benefiting communities in Aotearoa? Have the Greens been hearing from people about this?
I think all parliamentarians have received overwhelming feedback about the hardship that communities in the frontline are experiencing by not being able to purchase an abundance of healthy pie. And so the fact that we're hearing from people that they're missing out on fresh fruits and vegetables because their income just do not allow them to is indicative of the fact that food prices are far too high. And we also have the issue of just people not being able to access food outside the supermarket industry because they don't have access to things like urban food gardens or even farmers markets in their neighborhoods.
Are there sectors of society that are being disproportionately affected by the rising food prices?
We know that people on low incomes are facing higher pressures when it comes to the increase in food prices and inflation more broadly, because for someone on low income who's already facing the tough decision between paying rent or being able to afford enough food, a small increase in something like fresh fruits and vegetables has an even more disproportionate impact. And so this is why we do need urgent action, because it is those on the breadline that are now having to make really tough decisions on giving up essential food basket items.
The government has started to make some recommendations in response to the Commerce Commission. How did the recommendations help the situation?
So the government has moved on relatively quickly, which we do welcome, and one of the things that they'll be looking to introduce will be a code of conduct in terms of how supermarkets engage with suppliers, and I think that will be really important. The other thing will be around breaking the wholesale and the retail arm of supermarkets, and that will allow for basically better competition and the enabling of other players to enter in. This will make a difference in terms of food prices in the medium term, and I do think we need sort of some interim short-term interventions, such as further lifts to benefits, as well as actually providing funding for councils to provide venues for food markets and urban gardens, so that people have actually access to fresh Thai outside of the supermarket industry, because I think we should not just be accepting that supermarkets will be the main place that people access food. That's a relatively new phenomenon and one that I would be pushing back against.
So do the Greens support the actions being taken overall, and what do you think the core of the recommendations should be? You touched on it being maybe that the mission should be have everyone have access to fresh Thai and healthy food. Is that the line?
So we do support the government moving fast to implement the recommendations on cracking down on the supermarket duopoly. And in fact, we do welcome the fact that the minister has indicated that on a few of those recommendations, he's even going to go further. But as I said, I think at the core, what we shouldn't be accepting is that access to food is something that is at the moment provided by a profit-led industry, and I do think that we need to go back to the drawing board and put in place funding so that people can access food straight from growers, as well as just having community interventions for urban food gardens at Papakainga, which ultimately is what I think will lead to people having food and access to food as a human right as opposed to a commodity.
You just touched on it briefly there, but what other solutions outside of fixing the duopoly can we look to as a nation to make sure that all New Zealanders are getting access to healthy and affordable food? And do we have the capacity as a nation to put these other solutions into practice?
Indigenous peoples across the world have had solutions regarding access to food in a way that is built in into the community. So Papakainga is a great example here in Aotearoa. I do think we do have the resources to fund those community interventions. And what that would look like is actually making the most of the fact that even in our urban centres, we have really fertile land and that land could be used to grow food that directly goes to those communities. And that would be a way to start moving away from supermarkets being the primary source of access to food. I do think the more we invest in those interventions early on, the sooner that we'll be able to move away from supermarkets having such power in the delivery of food for our communities.
So overall, would you say that this is a step in the right direction, but we need to change our overall philosophy and maybe look at Indigenous perspectives on the matter?
So the government's approach to cracking down on the supermarket duopoly is a step in the right direction, but the Greens want transformative solutions that move away from supermarkets being the primary source of access for food.
That was me speaking with Ricardo Menendez-March from the Green Party about the government's response to the supermarket duopoly in Aotearoa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.